still standing. Amen. Thanks, brother. Well done. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let me read it from there. We just want to press play. Yep, there we go. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We just sang that, amen? And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Has someone been spurring you? You feel spurred? Are you a spurrer or a spurree? Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Remember those earlier days. Remember those earlier days. The next one. After you have received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. As this passage points out, when we don't give up on our faith and are able to keep pressing on towards the end, there is waiting for us a prize that God has set aside for us to give us as a reward for our resilience and faithfulness. Amen. A lot of people look to gain their reward now. It's not a bad thing to want to be rewarded for your efforts. Not saying that's a bad thing or anything, but it's just that sometimes our monetary rewards, our earthly rewards, can be a distraction and a stumbling block to the eternal reward that God has on offer. We want the quick fix of success. I would love it that whatever I do with my work, that I see an instant result. It'd be great. Chaplaincy's the same, eh? You do this, I spent this whole day of chaplaincy and what I got to show for it. We want the recognition. We want the spoils of having what everyone else has. So when following after Christ asks us to lay down our life and sacrifice our ambitions to put him first, we can become discouraged by a lack of success, by a lack of a product. All right? What have you got to show for today? Oh, well, I read scripture. Whatever. I've made some phone calls. Pizza Hut, is that you? This is what was happening with the people of Hebrews 10. Following Christ brought them a lot of pain and suffering and loss. He says, I think I've got that there. He says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light when you endured in great conflict full of suffering, that they were insulted, that they were sent to prison, that they had their goods confiscated. They had their properties confiscated. That they were publicly ridiculed, all because they were standing up for their faith. It's pretty tough going, losing your possessions, being mistreated and thrown into prison. We get upset when people don't like us because we're Christians. They don't even have to say anything, but they might just mistreat us slightly and it upsets us. Here in this situation, there was a lot of stuff going on. They were paying a big price. So how much can we bear under the weight of suffering? Only you and I know that, personally. How much can we bear under the weight of suffering? For these guys, they were going the distance. They had some sense of resilience within them. And so today, verse 35, it says, don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Friends, if we can hold on, if we can keep standing, and if life's tough for you right now and you're copying everything from everybody, if we can keep standing, if we can be resilient, even in the face of failure and loss, even in the face of what we lose from this earth, the promise is that there remains an eternal reward for us. I'm hoping that this series can play some part in helping you and I get over the line so that we can all receive the reward that's waiting for us. Amen? We want to be able to help you get over that line to receive that reward. And so within this passage, we see some of the qualities that we've been talking about regarding how we can build resilience. We see it talks about that there is a power that comes from fellowship and connecting with one another that helps to build resilience. We talked about this. The power of connection helps build resilience. How he tells them, by meeting together, we're able to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We need each other for that very purpose. Because life can be so difficult, we need to come into a church environment, a fellowship environment, and be encouraged. Whatever program or group or fellowship that you're a part of, there should be some encouragement in there. We shouldn't be trying to discourage one another or tell each other off or get angry with one another. That doesn't help anybody. That's not of God. That's coming from the flesh. But there should be this ability to encourage, because friends, we're all in a battle. We're at different places in our battle, but we all need a help. We all need a helping hand and an arm around the shoulder, you know, like people do. People often come to me, put their arm around the shoulder and say, you ever do that again? But we need that encouragement. We need to be spurred on. So are you a spurrer or are you a spurree? Maybe God wants to make you a person who can spur others on to better things. And then we also looked at how there is a power that comes, there is a resilience that comes through having a personal revelation of God. Friends, over this series we talked about that if we can see God, if we can grab hold of the reality of God for ourselves, not from the preacher, not from the preacher you're listening to or watching, whatever, or book you're reading, but when we have that personal encounter with God, it's something that cannot be taken away from us, because it's us. It's something that's real. It's tangible. It's like, I know God, and life might be tough, but I know this God, that he's real to me, and it builds this resilience in us. We don't become like Rocky Balboa. There's no one like Rocky Balboa. But friends, it's like, I can't be shaken. And the devil wants to come against you, but it's like, I can't let go, because I may be a failure in my faith. I might be one of the worst Christians, but I can't let go because God is so real. And that's resilience. Amen. The power of revelation builds resilience. Remember those days, earlier days, after you received the light. That's what we want. I don't want to preach and just give you information, but may be that from this pulpit, whoever is here, that it helps people receive the light, because that builds that resilience within us. And then it talks about the power of vision, that understanding that God is seeing what God has called you to. sensing that sense of destiny and purpose. It's like, oh, I'm not just a mistake. I'm not just here by accident, but I'm here because God has something intended for my life. And when that happens again, when they get that revelation of your own calling, it's like, well, you know, all right, I'm trying to get to A to B, and maybe I took a big detour, but that knowing where what you're headed towards always brings you back. It always brings you back. And it's like people look at you and say, man, this guy's always off track, but he keeps stumbling over towards the goal. Praise God. If that's your life, praise God. Could be interesting. Could make a book out of it, movie out of it. I stumbled forward. Praise God. That's resilience. Amen. And so this is what this whole series is about, looking at what we can do, what we can apply to ourselves mentally and physically, the practices we can put in place in order to help us become more resilient. And so this week I'm going to look at how we need confidence. We need to not throw away our confidence in order to be a resilient person. Confidence is the feeling of belief or trust that a person or thing is reliable. Having confidence in something that is sure, that is true, that is reliable. I know this floor is stable. And I've got confidence by standing on that. I know it's reliable. It's not going to collapse on me. There's a sure foundation under it. I don't see it all. I don't understand what's underneath the tiles, but I just know it's a sure foundation. I can step on there with great confidence. That's what God wants to do for us. Confidence can be a self-fulfilling prophecy because those without it tend to fall over. If you don't have confidence, it's like you're so easily pushed aside. But yet those who do have it, they seem to just stumble forward and accomplish things. It's like, man, how is it that they just keep moving forward? It's because they've got this sense of confidence within them, and it helps them to fulfill their destiny. When faced with a challenge, confident people are able to push on because they are sure in their own ability to deal with the issues they are facing. And in the same way, resilient people, they show perseverance by continuing to strive for their goals no matter what the barriers are and despite any clear setbacks that arise. But both involve, whether it's confidence or resilience, both involve the ability to not be afraid of failure. This is the greatest struggle that we have in standing up for our faith and pushing on to what God has called us to, is like we just have this sense of failure. What if I mess up? What if I get this wrong? What if I don't know what I'm doing? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. And in some ways, this is why it's good to have fellowship, because when you're doubting, when you're confused, and when you're unsure, you got people that say, "Nah, listen, you're doing all right. Hang in there." But if you haven't got that voice, those people around you to speak into your life, when you're losing your confidence, that's a bad place to be. It's not a healthy place to be, because you so easily fall over and don't give up. But God has called us to be connected so we can pick each other up and say, let's keep going. Let's fight. I'll stand with you. You go first and take the bullets, but I'll go with you all the way. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why I love you. You know, the truth is we all fail. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. I had that in my wedding vows. Just to be sure, because, boy, it was tough. You know, Michael Jordan, everybody knows Michael Jordan, right? Not as good as Rocky, but it says that over the course of his career, he lost 26 games with the last shot at the buzzer. 26 times in his career, he missed. He missed 26. Yeah, we all see his success, but there were many occasions where he failed. But the confidence he had in his own ability made him take those 26 shots. He didn't let fear or failure stop him from having a go. Because there are other times where he did have success. The novel, Gone with the Wind, was rejected by publishers, 38 publishers, before it became one of the most celebrated books and movies of all time. 38 people rejected that book. Yet because of that persistence, that confidence in that novel, we see what happened with it today. And so there's a lot of stories out there about people who fail, only to bounce back stronger than ever. They were afraid. They were hurt. But they continued to fight their fears in order to overcome, because deep down they had this confidence, not an arrogance, but a confidence in who they are and what they're able to achieve. And this is why we need to be resilient people, because it's having that quality of resilience that will help us to push through to the eternal prize, even in the face of fear and failure. And we need some level of confidence. To be resilient, we've got to have some confidence within us. So the Bible actually warns against becoming overconfident. Just to tip the tables on you, because we're talking about confidence and now we're going to talk about overconfidence. The Bible warns us, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. The Bible warns us against relying upon our own understanding, upon our own confidence and abilities, that instead we look to find our confidence and our direction in God's wisdom and his leading. But it says this, in all your ways, can you see that? In all your ways, verse 6, in all your ways. Friends, in all your ways means that you have a way. You have a plan. You have a thought. You have an idea of what you want to do. And so that's not a bad thing to do. We're not saying just trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't think about anything else. But what this passage is saying, it says, listen, when you plan your life and you've got some confidence about what you're going to do and what you can achieve, friends, if you continually acknowledge God in all your ways, God, you've given me this ability to be the best Formula One driver I could ever be. I've proven it out there. I've got the fines to show. But whatever it is, whatever, you know, an architect or a speaker or a housewife, whatever it is, I've got this understanding, God, that you have equipped me for so, you've given me abilities and talents. And I want to go and achieve. I want to study. I want to work hard. Friends, in all your ways, as you acknowledge God, God, I thank you for what you've given me. God, I thank you for the lecturers who taught me and developed my skill. God, I thank you for the opportunities that come my way. God, I've been given favor. God, you've blessed me. And as we continually acknowledge God in all our ways, he says, I'll make your path straight. You're heading for plan B, for the goal, the destiny that's ahead of you, and you might be veering off and said, God just steps in and said, no, you're going the wrong way. You veered off course. Come back. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I could have ruined my life by making some bad decisions. Plan your life. Have confidence in yourself, but keep acknowledging God in all your ways. God, I couldn't do this without you. You've given me these gifts that I have. Maybe I was born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. But God, you gave me these gifts and talents. I just so appreciate it. Thank you for that. Keep continuing to acknowledge him and God will make your path straight. And when we do that, friends, we move away from overconfidence and we put our trust in God. Amen. James says this, James chapter 1. James. I don't know which James said it. There's so many James. But James to the power of three. Well, that's right. And Jesus, head of the early church. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. It says, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. That's good. It's not just the brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything that you have, every talent, friends, you may have been born with it, but it has come from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. See, when we don't acknowledge God in all our ways, we're actually boasting in our own capabilities and talents and confidence. And we're leaning upon our own understanding of our self-confidence. Even though success and blessing and even life, our ability to breathe, comes down from our Heavenly Father. We exist, we live because God has given us life. We have abilities because God has given us those abilities. And maybe you have unearthed those talents, and maybe there are other talents that haven't been unearthed, but everything we have, everything that we've been given, has comes from God. And so having a confidence that builds resilience in our life is all about having a confidence in God and not in ourselves. And this is totally opposite of what the world tells us, encourages us to build up our own self-confidence. We've seen events like the Olympic Games, which is like a celebration of the ability of man, the perfection of man in his endeavor, the discipline, the reward of discipline. This is like a celebration of what man can achieve, breaking new records and changing new genders and stuff like that. And even out of Hollywood with action movies, even like the Rocky movie from Hollywood. I'm not going to be heretical here. But it's all about getting us to see the benefits of being self-confident. It's like when we see these movies, look, this guy's got confidence, he's got abilities, he's got talent. Look what the power of man to be able to overcome the challenges that are there for him. And so what can we do with our own strength? Maybe a good thing. It may seem like, man, I'm really coming along, I'm really growing, I'm really developing as a person. But the reality is, we are only here because of the grace and favor of God. We owe God everything. We owe God everything. The Bible says, don't put your confidence in wealth or possessions. That's why I'm asking for you to donate $50 after this message. Don't put your confidence in your money. Give it to me. The temptation is that having money makes us feel confidence. It makes us feel that having extra money on us helps us to be able to deal with the problems that come our way. If I only had a few dollars more, if only I can get another couple of thousand, I could be able to buy this or do that, or, you know, pay off some bills and I'll be free. I'll be free. If I can get more money, it's going to give me freedom. If I get more money, it can hold off the people that just want to come and take over my life. And so we look to money and we think, if I had more money, if I can get more possessions, then I'm in a better place, I'm in a safer place, I'm in a more stable place. The more money, the more possessions I have, the more confident and happy I'll be. But the Bible says, don't put your confidence in wealth or possessions. Proverbs 11 says, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Not during winter, though. Evergreen, that's it. Praise God. Despite what we're being told by the world, wealth is not the foundation upon which we can build our life compared to those who put their trust in God. This passage says that the overconfident, the ones who have the wealth, the one who has the money, who feel that they have the power and that they're set for life, will fall. It will fall. It will happen. Just thinking about this sermon, I was just thinking about the stories from the Great Depression back in the 1930s or whatever it is, and how people committed suicide because they lost everything. I think there was a wrong foundation there. I'm sure it's not nice to lose everything, but friends, you've still got your family, you've still got your life, you've still got opportunities ahead of you. Maybe it's not like it's going to be in the past, but there's always tomorrow. There's always a new opportunity. But these people, they lost it all, and it's like they lost their reason for existence. We can never be like that as a people of God. And Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus said, listen, the reality is these things aren't a guarantee for anything. Easy come, easy go. And the reality is we can't take it with us when we go after death, after life. Once we die, that's it, it's over. We're not going to have gold chains to look for it, to show for ourselves, or, you know, the success of a big, beautiful house. And we just stand before God naked and totally exposed of who we are. That's it. All that other stuff doesn't count for anything in the kingdom of God. This is what happens when we become overconfident. Genesis chapter 11, it says, "As the people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Then they said to each other, 'Hey, look, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar." Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." See, the people of the Tower of Babel, they started to get ahead of themselves. They started to feel good about where they were in terms of a society and where they were in their station of life. And so they thought that they were a big deal. "Man, we're just booming. We're just having great success." And they said, "You know what? We need to build something that just really reflects our greatness. We need to build a tower. We need to show the whole world how good we are, how powerful we are." And so their confidence grew into arrogance. And friends, when we become self-confident, when we become self-reliant, we look to promote ourselves. We look to establish our name. We want to promote ourselves. We want people to see that we are a big deal and build this reputation with people. We start to even, as these guys did, we want to start to challenge the honor of God, because they said, "Let's build a tower. Let's get as high as we can in the face of God, because we are men and we are doing powerful things, and we want to challenge the very essence of who God is with that tower." And this is what happens with us when we become self-confident and we become self-reliant. It's like, "Well, I don't need God, man. I'm doing all right. I've achieved all those things. I can, whatever I'm doing just has this hand of blessing upon it. Whatever I touch turns to gold. Man, I'm just pumping it. What do I need God for? What do I need to come on a, who wants to come on a Sunday morning and see this guy preach about resilience? I don't need that. I'm doing really well. People love me. I've got favor at work, you know, and I'm starting to buy some good, you know, I don't have to donate my organs at that church anymore. You know, I can save it from, I'm saving my body." That's in debate. We're still working on it. But we start to get this arrogance about us. We start to even challenge the essence of who God is. And if you don't think that happens, friends, you just need to look at what's happening in our world today. The Olympics, this sense of promoting the brilliance of mankind today is looking to make a name for itself, so to the point where they start to desecrate one of God's sacred ordinances with the Lord's table during the opening ceremony. This total defiance of who God is, to say, "It's just a joke. There's nothing serious, nothing sacred." So they make a mockery out of it. And then the Olympics is even challenging the definition of what God's design is for a man and a woman. It's like this sense of arrogance, this sense of self-confidence. It's like, we can challenge whatever God puts in front of us. People are challenging whatever God has given us, the language that God has given us. The rainbow has been taken away from us. Pride is now a good thing. Everything that God speaks about, people want to do the opposite of. Because I want to challenge God, their confidence is causing them to rise up. Look what we can become. Look at what we can do. It leads us to that place of arrogance. And so this is mankind's day, modern day Babel, challenging God's creation and sacred ordinances. This is where we see the defilement of who God is. Proverbs 16 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. See, this is scripture. This is the word of God. And I believe that there'll be evidence later on, not maybe for the Olympic system itself, but whoever has been planning these things will face a fall. Because that is what the Bible tells us. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I don't want us to lose our confidence, friends. I don't want us to feel unsure. The enemy's strategy is to make us feel unsure. We just prayed today about mental health. Why is that? Why is there such an epidemic with people struggling with mental health issues? Because, friends, the enemy is coming in and robbing people of their confidence, robbing the people the sense of security in God. And so because of that, because the enemy has had a foothold into these things, people are losing their confidence. People have thrown away their confidence. And yet the Bible says, don't allow that to happen. Stand strong. Stand up. Be resilient. Don't let the enemy take your confidence. Because if he does, friends, you're not going to achieve the prize that God has for you. And there are so many people out there, friends, who need to hear the message that God has given them an identity, a purpose, a reason for existence. And they need to come to him to find that confidence again in order to be resilient, in order to stand up for who they are and who God is. And this is not about God wanting to put the brakes on us. God understands our vulnerabilities and weaknesses. He just wants us to be aware of the temptations, the blind spots that we have where we can quickly fall over when we start to get overconfident and don't trust in him. Like I say, in all your ways, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, but keep acknowledging God in it. God, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you've given me these opportunities. I recognize, God, that without you, I put a hat on the cross. Without you, God, I wouldn't have these opportunities. I wouldn't be blessed. But because of you, God, I just thank you for all that you're doing. Praise God. Praise God. I think I might finish there because you know why? I can. Just one thing. Don't put confidence in yourself. We'll finish off here. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So when we become overconfident in our own plans of success, James says, listen, just remember, friends, we're not as in control as what we think we are. We're not the masters of our destiny. If anything, it's by the grace of God that we're able to get up every day and keep moving forward to be able to breathe. Without him, friends, we can plan, we can have a vision for our future. But friends, if God's not in it, if God hasn't ordained it, it ain't going to happen. And so we just got to keep saying, God, you lead me. You're my shepherd. Lead me in the path of righteousness. For your name's sake, God, lead me in the way that I should go. Don't let me get ahead of myself and think that I'm the big deal. But God, help me to keep acknowledging you in this. Amen. 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 Let's pray this morning. But firstly, I want to speak into anyone here this morning that maybe you have thrown away your confidence. Maybe you've been going through a season in your life where your confidence has been eroded. And we all go through that, facing up to some failure, facing up to some opposition. You know, people can be nasty. They say some horrible things to us and it erodes our confidence. When I was growing up as a kid, as a young kid, 8 or 9, I was told that I wasn't going to amount to much as a kid. I was of a twin sister, and they always, my family and my relatives told me, well, the one, I was born first and my sister was born second. They said, the one that's born second usually carries the intelligence. And that's what I was told as a kid. And there would be nights when I'd wake up early in the morning and look out into the night sky and wonder what future did I have. Friends, don't throw away your confidence. Doesn't matter what people have said. Doesn't even matter what people think about you. Just know this, that we have a Father who is in heaven, who has authority, who has a destiny and a purpose for our life, and He is the God that when He speaks, He speaks those things into being, and He has spoken of you and your destiny. Regardless of what any principality or power, regardless what any other voice has spoken into your life, God has a purpose for you. Be confident in Him. Find your hope in Him. Trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't keep going back to your own mental capacity to try and sort things out. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And so, friends, if you've been struggling with that, those negative words, those negative voices, today is the day we say, God, I'm not going to throw away my confidence anymore. Holy Spirit, I pray for every one of us here. God, help restore the confidence that's been stolen from us. Help us to find that sure foundation. Lord, You are the one who sets our feet upon our rock, upon the rock, and makes our footsteps firm. And You put a new song in our hearts, a song of praise, a song of thankfulness, a song of blessing. Thank You, God. Holy Spirit, thank You. Don't throw away your confidence. Look to God. Find your confidence in Him. And friends, I don't care how many times you failed. Keep getting back up. Keep standing, because God is the one who delivers us. God will get us to that prize. I'm sure that God will get us to that prize. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. The confidence song. I think that's good.
Now, the prayer today. If you want prayer, if you want one of your brothers and sisters to stand with you, we will stand with you and believe for you today for that area of need that you have. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart before, He's calling you. He wants you in His family. No matter what you've done, you have not been disqualified. If you're here today, He's called you. So just going to stand. We're going to sing Not Afraid again. I'm going to give you time for the Holy Spirit to minister to any area of need today. It's open at the front. We believe God can change the impossible. God can break through the strongest barrier, take down the tallest mountain. He is able. Thank You, Lord.
I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God. The still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of Your word. enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren plains, beyond the ocean waves. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. You keep the promises you made.
Amen.
All right, Aaron Hill, Mr. Lloydy, how about you come forward and give the benediction today? Mr. Lloyd. Okay. Next announcement. Next one. Is that it? Is that all we got? Don't forget, next week is our AGM as well. And you can even, if you don't want to become a member, but you just want to sit in and watch the show. It's a crazy time. There was an Italian church. There was an Italian church in the suburbs in Paynham, Italian Pentecostal church. And one time they actually pulled out a knife in an AGM meeting. So we're not quite like that, but, you know, you give me attitude, we'll see what happens. Don't forget as well, the 23rd is your birthday of August. 24th is the baptism on the Saturday. So come along. There's about four or five people getting baptized. If you want to get baptized, come please see me. Slip me a 20. That'd be great. And that's about it. Okay. Team building as well that weekend. Give.
Come on, Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for all restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.